This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenson with the Live Feed.
Today on the Live Feed, we present Steve Call and the Brass Kings from Boats and Bluegrass 2012. This group plays their old-time instruments in very unexpected ways. With metal-bodied resophonic guitars, washtub bass, and washboard, they chart the Bermuda Triangle of old-time Middle Eastern and bluegrass music. Shifting from jug band chugging into wild improvisational ragas, they blend folk music traditions into a pulsing groove. We'll feature an interview with this Minneapolis band and their performance from the Boats and Bluegrass Festival. You're listening to The Live Feed. We're at Boats and Bluegrass. It is Friday evening, and I've got Ryan McGoney with me from KQAL as well, sitting in on this interview. I'm going to have you go ahead and have the main man here introduce the band, and then I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves and what they play.
Hi, I'm Steve Call. To my right, your radio left, is Jillian Ray on fiddle, Mikkel Beckman on percussion, and Brad Tetchik on washtub bass.
When did you all form together?
We got together in, must have been 2005, and played a show at the Viking Bar, and that was our start back in Minneapolis. Recently, though, Jillian joined the band, and so we've been together almost a year, I think.
A little over a year.
You would call it bluegrass, but not 100% traditional bluegrass, what you're doing.
It's not traditional bluegrass, and I don't want to offend any real bluegrass people out there, but there's influences of it, but we stray pretty far from the fold.
What would you call yourself, then?
We're folk revisionist.
Okay. I like that. That's different. I haven't heard that before, actually.
Psychobilly also works.
Cool. I got to ask you, because you play the washtub bass.
Yep.
Have you played regular bass and then moved to washtub bass?
Yep.
Okay, so what spawned that movement for you?
Oh, boy. Spawned the movement?
Yeah.
I'm a revolutionary. Someone's got to do it, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I thought I'd just kind of keep it going.
How do you get the different intonation on the washtub bass?
I go for it, and I try not to think too much.
I noticed you got to wear gloves with it, too.
Yeah, it rips up my hands pretty well.
So what is being used for the strings on that?
Nylon rope.
Okay.
Quarter inch.
And then is that just a stick that you have connected to it?
Yep, an old broom handle.
So you guys write mostly all your original music. Do you play covers or?
Steve Call is the singer-songwriter of the group. And so we're primarily, working around his songs. And we try to bring, obviously, what we know to his songs to enhance them. We do a couple of cover songs we did tonight. We did Mule Skinner Blues, which is from a band called Mule Skinner based on a Jimmy Rogers song, but pretty much all original stuff from Steve Call.
Do you have any specific influences as far as songwriting goes?
Well, good lyricists, I hope. I like listening to good lyrics. Townes Van Zandt, John Prine, people who really pay attention to the words and have a sense of humor. I hope I can get there at one point.
Does anybody else ever write lyrics, or is it mostly just you?
Occasionally people scream things out. There have been episodes here and there, but nothing's made it onto tape yet.
When you compose, Steve, is it spur of the moment, or do you actually take the time and sit down and think through it?
Both. There's always an influence and a spark, and sometimes it comes real quickly, and it all comes together, and sometimes you craft it and work at it.
Do you start with the lyrics first, or do you just start with a lick?
Both. It depends on what happens. A lot of times the music will come right along with the rhythm of the words, and they sort of just mesh together, yeah.
So are you like a pen and paper type guy, or are you, I've got the tape recorder, I better spew this out now, or it's forever gone?
I've tried recording things. Most of the songs are on scraps of various types of paper, napkins, backs of bill statements. That's usually the only thing I do with bill statements. I just write on the back of them. That's it. So anything that's at hand when the story shows up.
Do you find yourself mostly writing from just pure experiences in life, or is it from other people's experiences in life that they've shared with you?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I don't think you can really write about anything you haven't kind of experienced. But not everything's autobiographical. you know, sometimes it leads somewhere you don't expect. So there's some fiction in there, you know, but it's based in reality.
Did you start out, let's say, writing, were you maybe a poet, or was there any of that growing up?
No, you get called a poet after you die.
Okay, just good to know.
You're just a writer. Don't fool yourself out there. No, the writing started early, and it was pretty awful. And I wrote these crazy stories that didn't make any sense. I think I showed Brad one once, and it made absolutely no sense. But I was writing, and that's how you learn. You just try it and do it.
Some of my favorite songs we do that Steve has composed are songs that started out with lyrics and then ended up not having lyrics, but there's a story behind them. So, for example, Western Lands is a song we do that's based on some writings he did, but and the lyrics ended up falling away, and the song Stands Alone is a powerful piece. Also, 38th Crowing Lake Breakdown has a story to it, but you don't hear any lyrics, but there's a story in the melody, and those are some of the most fun, beautiful moments in the band when there's a story being performed on stage to an audience, but there's no lyrics, and it's kind of cool.
Do you ever get interesting feedback from people about what that song actually means to them?
What do you mean by interesting feedback?
Anything that...
We get feedback.
Yeah. Not that kind of feedback, but I mean... like somebody coming up to you and being like, oh, this song reminds me of this time in my life.
Absolutely, yeah. It connects with people. You'll find somebody come up after the show, and it really meant something personal to them. That's huge. That's great. That means there's a connection. It's all about that, and you just want to connect.
Are there themes that kind of show up in different songs?
Boy, that's a good one. I haven't really sorted through to see.
Yeah.
As a listener of Steve's songs, I would say that I'm struck by how much he's able to portray the lives of people who usually don't get written about.
Okay.
Ordinary human, ordinary working people, ordinary people living out their lives, and how fascinating and interesting they are. And they're people we know and recognize. And so when I listen to the music, I can recognize some of the people in the songs as people I've experienced. And it gives me a deep appreciation for who they are as ordinary working people living out their lives. So to me, it's like he's writing about people that don't get written about by historians or by, you know, the media or anybody, but all the people around us who are just, we're all living our lives in ordinary and beautiful ways. And he's able to capture these tales and stories and moments in our lives. So I think people connect to it because they recognize themselves and their neighbors.
Coming up, these guys use traditional instruments to form expansive, worldly folk music flavors. Let's give it up for Steve Call and the Brass Kings. Bar I found. Won't you stand up, Frank? You got hell to pay and the devil to thank. Don't you stumble now. Got to get out of this workhouse somehow. Just a blur. I got blood on my shirt, and in the pocket is a hotel key, and I don't know how I got it. Won't you stand up, Frank? You got hell to pay and the devil to thank. Don't you stumble now, got to get out of this workhouse somehow.
Suspense.
And we're with Steve Call and the Brass Kings at Boats and Bluegrass 2012.
How much of this is a collaborative writing experience for you all?
All the music really comes together as a collaboration. I mean, we don't never have a discussion really about who's going to play what. You know, it's just I'll oftentimes play a song and everyone will join in and contribute their own thing. So it really, and it goes out, and Jillian might be able to talk about the collaborative part, because as she has joined the band, melodically we're able to play off of each other's ideas and kind of build that sort of really fun kind of collaboration on stage. And did you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, well, I guess to start, to go back to your question about the common theme, as an outside listener, which I've been a fan of the Brass Kings long before I, you know, joined the band permanently, but I'm not sure that the lyrical content has a theme throughout. Like Mikkel said, you know, there's all these very different stories, but Steve has a definite musical writing style that you can identify. So I feel if I were listening to the radio, I would know when a Brass Kings song came on. You can tell that that was written by Steve Call. His guitar style, his chordal structure, it's very unique and his own, and I think that's the overall common theme of the music.
That's good.
Not necessarily the lyrics, but as the collaboration, coming into the band, like Mikkel has his solid percussion parts, Brad has his solid, you know, washtub bass, and Steve was kind of pulling all the melody, which playing a resonator guitar like that, for example, with the finger picks, it's a very rhythmic style of guitar playing, so for me it's really fun to tool over that and make up my own melodies. But then when I hear that he's doing something more melodic, then I back off and I do more rhythmic stuff with my violin. So it's kind of cool that way. Like you mentioned, it's really fun to play off one another. So none of us are doing like the main thing 100% of the time. It's very give and take. It's like you're having a conversation.
So it's kind of like an ebb and flow and a tide, because it might not be the same the next time.
Oh, it rarely is the same. Rarely is the same. I mean, the structure of the song is almost always the same, but when a breakdown or a big solo section happens, or, you know, if there's many verses in a row, I might play something different underneath those verses today that I won't do tomorrow, sort of a thing.
We trade responsibilities around. Like, a lot of times I'm bass player, but also I'm drummer guy, and then Mikkel might sometimes be playing Steve's licks rhythmically, and then so I'm really drummer guy then, and then sometimes he's playing with Steve, and then me and Jillian, she's doing the upbeat, I'm doing the downbeat, so me and Jillian are drummer guy together, or you know what I mean? So we're always kind of switching responsibilities.
The beauty of the instruments we play is that we can play those roles and interchange them, so I can actually solo with Steve on the washboard where I wouldn't be able to do that on drums, and Brad can follow Jillian out, and there's a spine to it, the song. But when you're live in front of an audience, you're incorporating feelings and audience and location, sort of geography, and there's so much room to maneuver within that, and the songs change with location, with how many times you've played it and where you're going with it, and then somebody will throw out a spontaneous suggestion on stage musically and people will jump on it or not, and so we can follow a line out from the spine of the song, and sometimes it goes so far out you're afraid it's going to all fall apart, but it doesn't, and then we bring it back slowly back to the bass root. But that's the exciting part for me, is like I never know where any of these other three people are going to go when we're experimenting live in front of people and dancing about and going further and further out on a line, and it's like hold it together, and I'm looking at Brad going, you gotta hold this. I'm giving him the eye saying, you're gonna anchor this thing so we can come back, find our way back home. And I can see Steve and Jillian looking at each other like, you know, where's this going? And it's scary, but it's exciting, and that's the thrill of it. It's like you know, we're on this journey in front of all these people who are sort of hopefully being drawn in and entertained and in there and with riding with us on this crazy journey, you know, but we don't know if it's going to all crash or burn or come back, or it's like, you know, the 1492 sailing off and you think you're going to fall off the flat earth.
So you guys all trust each other is what I'm gathering?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. We're all fearless. And so we know that we'll just take care of each other. Doesn't matter what happens.
Has the train ever ran away, so to speak?
The train is always sort of precariously bouncing on two wheels over here and then leaning the other way. There are a couple of cars that are kind of bouncing, and yeah.
But it never quite, like, loses the track. Like, somehow we pull it together.
Somehow.
Yeah, let's not jinx ourselves.
But we're still going for it.
Yeah. Someday.
That's our goal.
It's like those little toys you press and they fall apart, you know, and they come back together. Ah! Whoa! Get fired, bro.
Thanks so much. Well, since last time we were here, we grew a family member here. Jillian Ray on the fiddle, ladies and gentlemen. And then about 20 days ago, we actually grew an actual family member, Brad's new son, Locke. This rambler is not the life for me. I don't think this is what they meant by cottage industry. I've got a watchful eye, a beating heart, and a minor in chemistry. It's not the life you choose. Laying here wide awake again with the rural meth lab blues. She went to the doctor, said she needs a little mood enhancer. Something to make her feel better, better than she feels. The doctor said, I can help you, but you only touch the symptoms. You gotta change your lifestyle. So she went to a friend of mine, said, can you help? I got a hole in my heart and the sun is falling in. Said, I can help you. You'll feel like you can move mountains. Well, the mountain will still be standing. But you feel like you can fly. Well, your feet will still be earthbound. You feel like running a marathon and you'll be standing still. She said, what have I got to lose? Now she's shacking up with me and the rural meth lab blues. Never rings. Three unmarked cars can change a few things. They're coming down the road. You've got a few minutes left. Came out of the receiver, but I hung up
looked at her, said we can go out with a whimper, or we can fire up this ether and go out with a bang. We barely made the trees when they rolled into the driveway, kicking up a dust cloud, and rolled to a stop. Barely got the doors open when that little shack went up like some kind of test firing. In all directions, the colors were blinding, and pieces of our lives too small for finding. Now we got mud on our shoes and the running meth lab blue. Something in a small town, it grows legs, walks down the street, tells everyone around. By the time you get home, there are messages on your machine. I guess it bears repeating, you should only say just what you mean. So I'm going back to Bigville, back where the truths are small. I'm going back to Bigville, where the truths are small. Yes, I'm going back to Bigville, where no one knows me at all. It starts up north, it's a million miles wide. It's full of stars and killer satellites. You're looking up at them and they are looking right back down at you. Can read your license plates and your bumper stickers too. So I'm going back to Bigville, back where the skies are gray. Yes, I'm going back to Bigville, where the skies are gray. Yes, I'm going back to Bigville, where no one knows my name. I wonder out loud, is it bow season still? And around the corner comes an army of riflemen. It'll be some time before I set foot in these woods again. So I'm going back to Bigville, back where the guns are small. Back to Bigville, where the guns are small. If you shut all of your windows, you can barely hear them at all.
you.
And we're back again with Steve Call and the Brass Kings at Boats and Bluegrass.
What is your favorite thing about being in this band?
The international rhythms and melodies. I am such an internationalist with music. I love the music of Africa and the Middle East and India and parts north and south. And Steve's tunings and his guitar style encompasses all of that. So for me, it's such a treat because we're global in our sound. And that's so exciting to me because we're a global culture and we're up against a global sort of decision on how, if we're going to survive as a species and how we're going to be. And the music we play really encompasses that struggle.
And again, I have to follow Mikkel's profound, you know, answers. My favorite thing about playing in the Brass Kings is playing in the Brass Kings. They've always been on my favorite local band list. I've always been a fan of the music. So playing the music itself, Steve is a fabulous songwriter. These songs are so unique, and we just all, or I guess I'm not just speaking for myself. I know that I have full freedom to do whatever I want musically, which everybody has, which is really awesome, but also the people. I just love these guys. I couldn't ask for a greater group of guys to be playing music with.
That's nice. I agree. It's a great bunch of people to be traveling around with, but I have to say, the huge thing for me is the gas station cuisine that we get to sample along the way. It's just always amazing and new. We always find new things, just like musically. We just go down the aisle and come up with these strange concoctions.
Has there been something you've ate before on these trips that you wish you hadn't ate?
No, but there's something we didn't eat, and I'm glad we didn't. And that was free roller egg rolls, I think, from somewhere near Fargo. And we never ate them, and I'm so glad.
He's going to throw them away. You could have them for free, because we're going to throw them away right now.
Means they've been out too long.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We were lining up. Nice guy.
What about for you? What's your favorite part of being with this group of people?
We're always trying to outdo ourselves. We're constantly trying to outdo the last thing we did, even the last song we just did. So I like that.
Constantly raising the bar, right?
We're constantly changing and constantly going.
Has there ever been embarrassing moments for you guys or no? Or learning? Oh, come on! Or something disastrous happened on a road trip. Yeah, somebody's got something.
We all live these interesting lives apart from the music, and we come together around the music and Steve's songs. And so there's the story of us as a band is around the songs and the performance. And so there's really not a lot of drama or incident around that because we just come together.
There was a time you had the EKG in Colorado. Oh, yeah.
So we were on tour in Colorado, and I ended up in the hospital like with all these tubes strapped to me because I don't know what. It was a flatlander coming up. Into the mountains.
Choked on the pork chop on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
What happened?
Mikkel choked on the pork chop on
so
a stick.
Apparently, I'm the feed of the band who has to be like, sent
not,
to the ER.
And that wasn't, that's not good. That's not really embarrassing. Those are kind of traumatic things.
Yeah.
So that's a different sort of subject.
Now. We
had
our medical situations.
We try to take care of each other. No, we haven't lost anyone yet.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's worked out pretty well.
They need to watch out for you, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. I shouldn't eat pork chops, and I shouldn't go up above 10,000 feet. We played a gig at 12,000 feet on the top of a mountain to about 1,000 snowboarders once, and I did fine. You know, we got through the show.
I think it was after that we had.
Yeah, it was right after that. I had to go to the ER, but, you know, it was worth it.
The show went on.
We took a snowcat to the gig and played, and then I ended up in the ER.
Steve, where was the turning point for you musically to really go at this hard?
Well, I had known both Brad and Mikkel for a number of years. I've seen Mikkel play with other people, and I'd known Brad from friends with him for ages, but we'd never played together, and we played a show at the Viking Bar. It was going to be a solo show, and those guys joined me, and it just clicked. There was no thought about it. I mean, it just sounded so good. People asked us how long we'd been together, and we all looked at each other like, well, maybe this is something.
I mean,
it's just from the first show, it was like, wow, this works. So we just kept doing it.
captain. Good morning, shine. Do you need another mule, Skinner? On that old mud line.
This is Terry Tenseth. We're at Boats and Bluegrass 2012, and we're wrapping up with Steve Call and the Brass Kings.
So what do each of you do when you're not doing music?
Oh, my mic. I run a little diner called the Bandbox.
What do you serve at a place called the Bandbox?
Burgers. Breakfast. Americana food, kind of, but kind of funky weirdness.
Where's this at?
Downtown Minneapolis.
Okay, cool.
It's the oldest diner in Minneapolis, and instead of, for example, a Sloppy Joe, you can go there and get a Sloppy Bro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Oh, my God, I love the bro sauce. Now I need a burger. Thanks a lot.
Well, I bet you get a lot of interesting stories from
that. Very diverse, yeah.
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 I'm sure
Sure. Yeah, people are different. People are really weird about food.
Yeah, and everybody walks through my door. Everybody from the whole world.
What about you?
I run a nonprofit company that works with homeless people in Minneapolis called St. Stephen's Human Services. So we've got about 100 staff and 10 major programs, and we move about 2,000 people from streets and shelter into housing every year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great work.
I just opened my very own music school in Minneapolis with a good friend of mine. So I run that, and I teach lessons when I'm not playing gigs with these guys. It's called the Music Lab. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Have you always wanted to do that?
I really have. I've been teaching forever, and it's always been an end goal. I never thought I would do it this quickly, and it's been pretty cool. So can't complain.
I record, I work at a studio when I'm not playing sold-out shows with the Brass Kings.
Do you ever find it kind of hard when you're on stage to separate yourself? I mean, are you thinking always about how this could sound in studio versus how it's sounding on stage, or is that not a complication?
Not so much. The stage and performance is kind of its own thing. You know, we want it to sound good on stage so we can all perform properly, but, you know, the studio is its own thing. We enjoy that process, too. It's a lot of fun.
Which one do you enjoy more?
Well, live performance is hard to beat. That's kind of where music begins and ends. In the studio, we're always trying to capture a performance. And that's where the best recordings come from. So it all flows from playing.
Are you enjoying the process more or the end product?
The moment. It's always right at that moment when, yeah, we're pushing ourselves and hitting this spot that we didn't think we could reach. That's the most satisfying thing. And if there's people there to share it, that's the best.
When you're spinning in perfect harmony and then you look out, you sort of look up at some moment and look out at the people who are listening and you see them spinning with you, then it's just perfection and it's harmony and it's beautiful. And that's it.
Well, thanks for taking time out with us.
Thanks so much. This is just a great festival and we appreciate coming down here and playing for you.
We'll do one more quick one for you if that's all right. Insurance adjuster, won't you come on to my home? Insurance adjuster, won't you come on to my home? February cold. Burned out house down on 38th Street. Room after room full of nightmare heat. And chances changed to a charcoal gray. What was gathered together has been swept away. Insurance adjuster, won't you come on to my home? My good girl, she's crying. We lost everything we own. Well, if it everything we had is on the floor in a heap. Smoke hasn't settled, but there's not much to keep. Fires take it all, they don't wait around. Go burning and looting with the crackling sound. And really, I didn't know we had that much stuff. According to the TV, you can never have enough. Insurance adjuster, won't you come on to my home? She's crying. We lost everything we own. Thank you so much. Boats of Bluegrass.
Thanks again to the members of Steve Call and the Brass Kings. More information on this Minneapolis band can be found at www.stevecall.com and on Facebook. Another thank you goes out to all who made Boats and Bluegrass 2012 possible. More information on Boats and Bluegrass can be found at www.boatsandbluegrass.com. You've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.